This is class number one of Tabernacle 2. R3, R4, if you include priesthood. Or the feasts or the offerings, because I've taught all of those independently. All right, this is Tabernacle, whatever the number is. And this one we're going to be talking more about the furniture, which I don't think I've done since the original one that I did, like when I was your age. And also, well, you do have this book. Has anybody done any work in it? Raise your hand if you have. Good, one person, that's great. Okay, now remember, I said you can work ahead, not behind. All right, therefore, homework for next semester, for this class, will be doing the questions on chapters 1, 2, and 3 by next class. And the questions are in the back. They have the scripture references. It's not that hard.
1, 2, 3.
That's right. Actually, the truth is, I'm depending on how the Lord leads tonight, I would be on chapter 11 by the first class. That's kind of the way I do it. Deb, can you get me either a box of tissues or a semblance thereof, which should include at least four, just in case. I'm just glad my mustache is growing a lot better now that I... Never mind. Now that I'm feeding it. All right, let us begin with Hebrews chapter 1. I'm in chapter 10, verse 1. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10:1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. All right, so we're immediately confronted with two testaments. Testament, known universally as the OT, and the New Testament, also known universally as the NT. This scripture is talking about those two. It's talking about the law having a shadow of good things to come. And so what it is declaring unto you and unto me is, it is pointing the old covenant, is pointing to something better to come. All right. So that makes sense, and that doesn't seem too difficult at this stage. But it says that the law having a shadow. And so one thing that we have to realize is that there is this aspect of the Lord and of knowing him that relates to, I'm going to take this off right here, relates to shadow. The shadow. Now, You know, I think that we pretty much feel comfortable with our knowledge that the old covenant was a shadow of what was to come. Usually we say it was a shadow of the new covenant. But this really isn't saying that, not this verse. For the law was a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. And so it's dealing with image. The image of it is not fully seen. And you know, with a shadow of your hand or of your body, it's not a very good image at all. It's really more of an outline or a silhouette, actually, if we want to be technical. There is this looking at things within the realm of earth, within the realm of a period of time from here to there, this covering this period and this covering that period. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5 now. And I hope y'all will excuse me if I am doing this while you're turning. Verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow, of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. So this is one reason why we're reading these scriptures and going over this, because we're talking about the tabernacle. For see, saith he, this is God speaking to Moses. This is God speaking. And this is what God has to say. For see that thou make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. All right. So we have on our board a straight line with what we had, the Old Testament shadow over here. And then we, right here at this point in time, we have the New Testament. But this verse is bringing in something else than the Old and the New Testament, or the Old and the New Covenant. This verse is going beyond the other verse that we read. And it is trying to awaken us, and should Lord willing, help us to be awakened to seeing the tabernacle beyond just things that, well, that's a type of Christ. That's because that looks like this and that, and you know, they killed this, so it's got to be Jesus. You know, I mean, I stumped my toe, and that's got to be a picture of Christ somehow. No, there is a reality that is above the tabernacle, that is above the old covenant, that is above the new covenant, that is above all that we understand. That, you know, if we call it heavenly things, if we call it things above, if we call it the pattern that you saw on the mount, and really, I mean, what Moses saw on the mount was God. Face to face. All right. So that thing, and we're going to, I'm going to go ahead and round this out a little bit now. I'm going to use one of my famous abstract objects. All right. And I'm going to erase NT here, new covenant, just as I erased the old covenant and put shadow. And I'm going to put manifestation. Okay? So here we have Throughout the book of Hebrews, we have these three things mentioned. We have the old covenant and the new covenant. We have the old covenant as a shadow. We have not yet described the new covenant yet, except as manifestation. And we're going to call this thing that is above, this thing that is that the shadow is supposed to form after. We're going to call that, and I gave it an abstract shape, lest I put a circle and call it God and fail to take you down a road that will help you to know and enter into the Lord in this way. So we're going to call this one being. Being. It's not only a state of being, it's a person who is a being. Okay? And when Jesus came to the earth, well, let's see if we can find a scripture that'll do that. Probably John chapter 1, because so much of John 1. Let's just take... we're going to be going back and forth to John maybe a lot, possibly, so you might want to mark that. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. All right. All things were made by Him. Now, there's another word that John uses, and it's logos. And that word has been translated word, but I fear that it has missed many of the points, because if this represents the being that created all things, that we call God, and therefore with God comes all of these images and thoughts, and this is what God, well, who is God? Well, and we start naming off all this stuff when most of the time we don't know that being. We know what He does. We can almost say we've met the person, but we don't know the being of the person. And so then, let me see if I'm also correct over here from our brother John. My Bible is starting to fall apart. Every page is... Okay, let's go. Now, keep your place in the Gospel of John, because we're going to be looking at several things. 1 John chapter 1, and beginning with verse 1, that which was from the beginning. Okay, from the beginning. This is what's from the beginning. Now, we're still trying to identify or at least place where this should be placed, not along a linear line of history, not within a line of a movement from old covenant to new covenant, but something outside of that, which we just read. It's all made by this being, this Logos, this being. And so in 1 John, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. And what he's saying here is he has not heard Jesus of Nazareth. Do you understand the difference? He has not heard from Jesus of Nazareth. He has heard from that which was from the beginning. This is, if we don't get this, there's no need talking about the tabernacle, because the tabernacle was not a shadow of the new. It was a shadow of something above. And We'll miss it, we'll miss it, we'll miss it. We'll never see the being in it then. We'll only see how it fulfills New Testament concepts. Okay. So, but I'm not finished reading here because it's so good. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the logos of life. Okay. Keeping it on being right now. But the logos of life. But then he goes on, for the life was, here it is, here it is. Now, if you get this, this will be so good for you. If you're not catching any of this, it's just going to be so sad. Which was manifested. Okay, so we got the cross over here under manifestation. And we got, let's see, how we draw that. We got the altar, and the fire on the altar. Or you could even make this the whole tabernacle over here in shadow. Shadow, tabernacle, altar. But altar is also very good, though it's not confined to altar, neither is the tabernacle. Because the altar and the laver and all of those different pieces of furniture were patterned after this being that was before, that was in the beginning, that made all things. And now we're making stuff in Shadowland after that image, but not the very direct image, it goes on to say. It's not the exact image. It is a made image of what we have seen. All right. So the cross, I mean, let's look at that again. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested. The life of the being called Logos was manifested down here at this time in the era that we call the time of the New Testament or the time of the New Covenant. All right. But this being was long before there was an era of the New Covenant or an era of the Old Covenant. And Jesus, the scriptures say of Jesus in Hebrews and many other places, he is the express image of this being. Now, probably if I draw this triangle anytime again, I'm going to draw it in a different shape up here. I'm going to use, because we're not capable of truly knowing, because we are finite beings, our understanding is finite, and each of us have an understanding not based on one book, and I'm just saying if it was a whatever book, not based on one book or one, but we have various upbringings and various teachings and various things, so much so that whatever comes to us is graded and marked and quantified and put together according to us. Not according to him, and it couldn't possibly be according to him because we don't know the being of him. Oh, but we know the manifestation, so that's knowing everything. That's what we think, but not true. The being manifested through Jesus. Okay, so manifestation is only the giving outward expression into the material realm of something that came from that being. Am I right or wrong? I mean, we haven't got very far here. I don't need to, you know, if I need to start and go over this again, because this is the foundation, not just of the tabernacle. This is the foundation of everything. This is whether we know God, the God of the shadow, or the God of the manifestation. Or the one that we're not even prepared to call God. I mean, not that he's not, but that we're not prepared to call him God, because that will immediately slip into the things that we've quantified as what we understand of him. So we just call him a being. A being. All right. So, this is... let me just go over a few things, because most of this I wrote today. Actually, I wrote it in my sleep last night. I went to bed and the Holy Spirit said, forget everything that you were thinking about sharing. And I said, it's tomorrow. It starts tomorrow. He said, don't worry about it. So he didn't keep me up. He just moved all night long. And I'm telling you that what I'm sharing with you is what I heard from him that he wanted shared, and that what he wanted us to, I mean, what is this, just this stupid chalk on a board, what is that, what would that mean? That would mean that everything that we call God and understand to be God is only really and true the manifestation of God, and not the very being himself, not the very image himself. Do you see a difference between something? I mean, you know, I've used the example that, you know, I could be a carpenter and I could make beautiful woodwork and coffee tables and bedsteads and all this kind of stuff, you know, and you could come and, you know, once every 6 months look around in my little shop and go, the work. Oh, it's beautiful, you know, and your handiwork is so good and whatever. And I could, you know, when you're not there and the shop's closed up, I could be in the back beating my wife, you know what I mean? Same thing with a musician. Somebody could be really, really good and really, really ugly on the inside. And you would say, well, you know, this is proven what they are, but you can't know fully anybody by their manifestations, especially people, because we have learned how to slip and slide and cover and you know, make look another way, and you know, I mean. Again, and I guess I will probably be known as the preacher who hated Facebook. I don't hate Facebook. I hate people. No. No, not really. But I hate what people do, because everybody puts this, I mean, they get the most gorgeous or best looking picture they can of themselves and they put it on there and they write all the good stuff about them. They don't say, you know, deep down, I really hate my or this or that. They don't put any of that stuff. They don't put it right on there. This is how you can know me, you know? And then what we continually fill it with is pictures of all the good moments. And we write about all the good stuff. Is there ever a period in there in any of these lives they go through anything? I mean, you don't see it. Especially not to the degree that, you know, well, I'm a liar and a mess. You know what I mean? You don't see that. Well, I'm a liar and a mess. You go, this person who did this to me is a liar and a mess. See? Okay, so we don't even know who we are because we've covered it over with so much stuff. And we think we do. Okay. We're never really going to know who we are until we know who he is. Yeah. And yes, we will learn of him through Jesus, but there is Because he's one with him. And he's not just one with him, he's one as part of what this being is. Okay? So let's talk about manifestation or what we know or what we can derive from looking at manifestation in light of this triangle. I wrote down, manifestation needs shadow. Okay. Manifestation needs shadow? No, it doesn't. Manifestation didn't need it. Shadow's just a shadow. Okay, well, let's picture this, okay? Let's picture that soon as Jesus, now try to follow this, as soon as Jesus died on the cross, and then Gentiles got a hold of it, the Gentiles killed every Jew and burnt everything that ever pertained to a Jew. Okay? Let's just say that happened. All right, so people are saying, well, you know, there's this guy who died on the cross, you know, and so they go look and they're looking at him and they go, well, he's just a criminal. Yeah, I guess he is, because there's nothing evident. If you don't have any other information from the old covenant, from the shadow, if you have zero information, then he's just a criminal that died on a cross, like a bunch of other criminals, thousands upon thousands. There's nothing to relate that to. But when you take the manifestation back to the shadow, the shadow tells us of sacrifices that died, and he is the fulfillment of that. But if you never knew the shadow, you would have no clue what really happened. The manifestation needs the shadow because God explained it that way and put it that way so that when he died on a cross, he didn't say, I am the sacrifice for all men, and I, you know, and had, you know, a 3-hour speech so that we would all, you know, write it down and go, okay, oh, that's what this is about. The manifestation needs the shadow. And apparently the writer of the book of Hebrews kind of thought that too. Because he's constantly pointing back to it, things that Gentiles didn't know normally. All right, and I wrote down in parentheses, offerings explain the cross. Offerings explain the cross. The cross does not explain itself, people. It doesn't. There is no explanation in the New Testament about the cross unless it is referring back to the Old Covenant. That he was an atonement for sin, that he gave himself that we might da 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 da. And they're constantly referring to the shadow to put meat on the manifestation. Okay. The shadow, so let's talk about the shadow then. The shadow needs being to exist. Okay. That's a simple one, isn't it? Isn't that simple enough? If the sun's shining there and I'm standing here and my shadow's over there, if I wasn't here and I didn't exist, the shadow could not exist. It needs being to even exist. It can't exist in a vacuum. And you say, why is that important or how is that important? Because we dump the shadow all the time. It would be like if the shadow was Jacob's ladder. You climb that ladder till you find the being. Because it's going to lead to it. It points to it. There are things still that you can learn from the shadow about the being, but you can't get the full picture of the being without the being. Even manifestation can't give you the full picture. Something has to be revealed. Praise God. And what is revealed? I mean, we'll get into this, but what is revealed? I'll tell you exactly what's revealed. What's behind the veil? That's what's revealed. That's what's revealed. And what is behind the veil? Well, God is behind that veil. And everything else in the whole place is a shadow in some fashion or form of that being that's back there. And just to, you know.
Yes.
Everything is a shadow, but the being that's in there is not a shadow. But yes, he is in there with an ark, and related to that is the mercy seat. With two cherubim on either side, of which I'm not ready to speak particularly. Neither was the writer of Hebrews, so we're both going to bow out on that right now. I don't know if I said it, but shadow needs manifestation to have meaning. The shadow is just a ethereal thing. You know, a shadow. You can't touch it. You can't hold it. You can't, you know. But a manifestation of the being of which the shadow came, it gives meaning. It's almost like this triangle. Yeah, it works and is one somehow. I don't know. All right, so let's talk about being. Being needs shadow. Being needs shadow. Oh, no, being didn't just exist. But for us and for our finite whatever, because we're not going to just jump automatically into being. God has been there's been this being all along. And we're still struggling to grasp. Being needs shadow to testify of being in shadow form. If that wasn't true, there would be no book of Hebrews, and it certainly would, there would be no this class that you're in right now. It's a testimony. It testifies that there is something real. If somebody saw my shadow and I was around the corner, but they could see my shadow, they could assume that somebody's around the corner. Right?
Yes.
They go, okay, this is. This is proof. This is proof. So you understand shadows, right? Everybody understand shadow? Okay, let's see if you do. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Okay, you can sit back down. A bunch of people are getting sleepy, and I just thought I'd wake you up a little bit. Tell you what, I'm sleepy too. The Lord kept me up with this. The Lord scrapped everything I was going to share, and he said, I want to talk to you about eternal things, and I want you, and yeah, he was talking to me, I want you to realize that there is that which the shadow is a shadow of instead of a shadow of the manifestation. In a certain sense, manifestation is still a shadow of the being and it is not the very being himself. Okay, so being needs manifestation to testify of being as a cause. In other words, that being manifests, that being is the cause of the manifestation. It's like a shadow. The shadow testifies of the person there. The manifestation also testifies that there's a being that is above our being. I wrote, God's manifestations are straight out of his being. And this is an important thing because this is different from us. Our manifestations are not usually a manifestation of our being. They're a manifestation of our soul or our mind or our will or a manifestation of what our body's going through. I got a tummy ache. I'm manifesting, you know. And we show all kind of stuff that doesn't come from our being. All kinds of stuff. This being here doesn't at all. Everything it does, thinks, says, moves has to do with its being because this being's being is God. There's nothing higher or in charge of God. There's nothing motivating God but his being. Right? Pure being. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Okay, he's with God. But he's with God because he's Logos. He's with God because he's being. In the beginning there was the Word. He's with God. He made all things. Oh, boy. I don't know that we'll ever get to it in this class, but I'll get to it in my book. We're going to find out one day, unless God kills me soon. Excuse me, takes me. Whatever method, you know. We're going to find out that being created everything out of its being. Created everything out of its being. Didn't create anything out of something else. You know, like, you know, I could see Jesus talking to the Father. You know, the other day, this angel bumped into me and I had a thought. Maybe, are you following that? That was some incident that caused him to say, well, let's add this to the creation or do this or something. But he's not motivated by that. Whether it's an angel bumping into him or a human being driving a nail into his hands, all emanates from his being. And he has no other God before him. Right? Again, if he went by the Ten Commandments or anything like that, that would be God because it would be over him. He doesn't. He has no other gods before him. He is pure in what he does and what he says. And we may not always understand. When I say pure, see, you have to understand the being. There is no need even saying this stuff if you don't understand his being because it falls on deaf ears. Because we don't know what all things created by him means and what, therefore to do that, We would do what scientists and psychologists and everybody else has done. We would set out to study all the manifestations and shadows. Scholars, Bible scholars, they're doing it the same way as a scientist or psychologist or anybody else. It is an event-minded search, not a being-minded search. So, That's why when we read that first verse that we read in Hebrews 10, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, so okay, we're going. The law was a shadow of good things. There's no being involved in that for us. If the being is involved, we slap a name on him, Lord, and we look to him with expectations of doing good things for us. We've already perverted the river right there. We polluted the river. As soon as we touch it, we pollute. There is a river that maketh glad the heart of God. There's a river that flows pure out of the Lamb, out of the throne, out of the bride, New Jerusalem. Pure. It's pure, pure, crystal clear. And it brings healing and life to everything it touches because it's flowing out of being. But see, while he stays pure, we pervert or we pollute the thing because we seem to have to be in it, but not just in the equation. It has to be X plus Y plus over 2 da da da, da equals me. And it's about me. I'm going to get good things. Well, the other scripture we read is, you're serving unto the example and shadow, and you're not seeing that everything is made according to how he made it, the intention, the spirit behind he made it. And you're making stuff out of order, out of another mind, out of another spirit. You see that with the disciples walking along with Jesus, and Jesus decides to pass through Samaria because why? Being moves him. Being is moving him toward Jerusalem where he's going to die. It's moving him toward Jerusalem. It says that. He passes through with the intention of going to Jerusalem to die. Samaritans don't get that. I don't understand that. All I understand is we've been snubbed. You know, you stopped along the way for the people in Babadoobity and Libidastity and all these other places. But when you got here, you act like we're foreigners. See, they've got their own, because the Samaritans, come on. They were a mixture between Israel and the Syrians and Assyria and I can't remember everybody. All of it. Yeah, they're just a big mixture. So, and the Jews, they were pure. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. But the Samaritans, in this case, they have got things built into them. Hurt, rejection, pride, meanness. They got all kind of squirmy things on the inside of them. See, because when, you know, once you offend that person, then they bring up their arson. So they're all offended and upset with Jesus and the disciples, because they are of the Jews and not Samaritans, they're going to protect Jesus because that's the right thing to do. No, it's still the opposite of his being.
Yes.
But at least they're scriptural. Should we rain down fire like Elijah did? We're scriptural, and we want to be with you. And the only way we know to be with him is to be scriptural, not to be with the being. See, you can't be with someone unless it's with the being.
That's right.
Okay? So we say, well, I'm going to be scriptural. Well, the devil is scriptural. The Bible's, you know, the Word of God says, cast yourself down from here and he will lift you up. The devil's quoting the Word of God to Jesus. Jesus goes, oh, praise God. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I'm going to jump off the temple. Should I do a swan dive or just a belly flopper? Now, Jesus knows. And I'll say it like this. Jesus knows who he is of, meaning the being. He knows. And part of the thing we'll get into in this thing is that he will, before it's over with, glorify the being. He will. He will not glorify him with going, glory to the being. He will glorify the being.
Amen.
So, the disciples, I mean, you know, they've only been like 3.5 years with Jesus. It's, you know, it's about how long you go to Bible school. And so far what they've learned is there's power in God. And I can show you in the Word of God that God let Elijah call it down from him. And he said, you betcha, Elijah. And they're all convinced of everything but the being. Because they don't know what that meant. They see it in light of, you know, I had somebody messing with me once, and, you know, if they ever really start getting to me, I'm going to ask God to call down fire from them, because that's scriptural. Okay, so they said, let's call down fire. And Jesus says to them, you don't know the scriptures. No. He didn't say you don't know the scriptures. The Pharisees knew the scriptures. He said you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't know the being that you're of. Are they of it? Yes. Do they know it? No, they don't know what spirit they're of. Amen? So this whole thing has to do with what is it that is in the mount, if you will? What is it that is in that mount? That's important. Not how is Jesus the fulfillment of this Old Testament story? Oh, how? Holy Spirit, show me how the manifestation is a fulfillment of the shadow. Or show me how the shadow, you know, plays into what Jesus did in this instance when he manifested something in words or in deed. See, all of this is on earth. All of this, anybody can note the shadow as far as seeing in tangible form, the tabernacle or the altar. Anybody can see the manifestation. But not anybody can see the being. You say, well, you know, excuse me, Brother Randy, but, you know, the high priest did go in once a year behind the curtain. And he never saw the being, folks. He didn't. Because he was in there to fix the problems of the people that were out there. Did you hear what I just said? The very reason why we go to prayer. The very reason why we do certain things. And we constantly miss the being. You know, don't you think somebody ever came up to the high priest and said, so what's God look like? What's he look like? You know, Don't you think people came up to the disciples 15 years after Jesus had been crucified and says, what did he look like? Did he have blue eyes? Did he have, did he have this and that? Did he have a big Jewish nose like us? Yeah, praise God. He did. I can guarantee it. He did. He's a good Jewish man. But there was no beauty that you'd desire him. And that's, of course, talking about the cross. But the disciples never went there. They never wrote about it. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's not weird theologically, but when we think about it, we would go, well, I would ask that. I would like to know that. Paul hit the nail on the head years later, and he said, we don't know one another after the flesh. We don't know Jesus after the flesh, though we once did, but we don't know him anymore. I also find it interesting that Paul wrote that, and Paul never walked with Jesus after the flesh. So there's a whole nother level of knowing someone after the flesh than just what we would assume. All right, so when it came to the shadow, God said, see that you make all things, see to it, that you make all things according to what you saw in the mount. Don't make shadows of things that are not from here, his being. Don't make stuff shadows of stuff that is on the earth. Shadows are good in a whole lot of ways, but if you get a big old shadow, it's not necessarily good. You rename it. Do you know what a big old shadow is? It's called when the sun's on the other side of the earth and we're all not in shadow, we're in darkness. Right? Y'all understand? Am I okay here with the solar system teaching? It's not just a shadow. It's called darkness. And half of the earth is in darkness at that point. If you, like for example with Moses, if you can make shadows, and God said, I want you to do that. God wanted that old covenant to be based on shadows. But if you can do that, if it is possible for you to do that, there's only one requirement. You have to see the original. The thing from which the shadow comes. Right? That's all that's required. You have to see that. And then you can set about. But I can guarantee, see, that's why they always ran to Moses. Well, this happened, and that, what happened here, and all this kind of stuff. And he seemed to know and be able to navigate and negotiate all of the hard terms and stuff like that. Why was he able to do that? Well, he was the leader, and God gave him special insight into leadership. No. The being was revealed to him. And he could look at something and go, that's not after the pattern. Hello? Right. He could look at all kind of stuff and go, that's not after the pattern. That's not, this isn't. You know, yes it is. This is all Christian. This is all from God. I know it is. It's not. It's not after the pattern. It has prayer in it. It includes prayer. So it's got to be of God. Buddhists pray. Hindus pray. Sinners pray. Is it after the image? Or is it just just religion. And you see what happened, and I'll just end with this. What happened was eventually, like in the prophets, God said, I hate your feasts. I hate your sweet savor offerings. I hate your all of this. I hate all this. And I remember when I read that in Bible school, I went, God, why do you hate all this stuff? You're the one who initiated it. I mean, I really did. I was like, you started this stuff. Don't be blaming us. And then the Holy Spirit went, come here, dummy. Let me talk to you. You know, and he began to show me if that was being fulfilled, if that was being filled full with this coming down into manifestation, then he would have accepted it. But because it had, even though it was the form he gave, the insides of it had been perverted. It had been corrupted. Because it had no light. It was all formed in darkness. I mean, first thing God said when everything was out, when confusion and without form and void, let there be light. Okay, let's begin. See. All right, let's stop and take a break and we'll come back.